Life Rehabilitation Rules, and this is a decision. Patricia and Becky. So it's getting dark.
Good morning, Commission Chair, members of the Commission, and Director and Deputy Director. For the record, my name is Mick Cope. I'm the Deputy Assistant Director with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I wanted to kick off this agenda item just real briefly and then hand it over to Patricia. The reason I wanted to do that is I wanted to show our appreciation for the rehab community, the important role that they play. It's a critical piece to a great partnership. We have worked with many folks over the years and had wonderful successes, and we really appreciate what they bring to the table and want to thank them. I'd also like to take a second to thank the Wildlife Rehabilitation Advisory Committee, which is a group of folks that we brought together to meet seven times over a six-month period, and they came in and had all-day meetings with us, and it was a group of folks that included large rehab facilities, small rehab facilities, as well as members of the general public who had applied to be part of this committee and advise us on the rehab rules that you're about to see and make a decision on. I'd also like to appreciate Patricia Thompson. She's a very compassionate, very hardworking, and very good at her job. I know that this issue can be very controversial at times. And she does a wonderful job of working through those issues and represents the agency and your commission very well. I wanted to also let you know that these rules, while Patricia is making this presentation, the rules are coming from the agency as a whole. It is a product of a great partnership, I think, with the Wildlife Rehab Advisory Committee, as well as members of our staff that range from enforcement officers to wildlife rehab vets to Patricia. And I had the privilege of facilitating the group that worked through that, and I'm happy to turn this over to Patricia and let her seal the deal here. So thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mick. Good morning, Chairman Carpenter, members of the Commission, Director Suswind, Deputy Director Storr. I am Patricia Thompson. I'm the Manager of Wildlife Rehabilitation and Falconry, and I was here with you last month to present the overview on wildlife rehabilitation and the proposed amendments to the WACs. Yes, this is the decision meeting, and I'm here today to just briefly review the proposed amendments and the supplemental adjustments added since the last January 11th meeting. So I would also like to thank the RAC and acknowledge their great work over several months and the partnership that we had with them. They worked very hard through spring and summer. We had great discussions. We learned a lot from them. And like Mick said, the members represented mostly the rehab community, and members of the public were on that as well. Also, in these amendments, there are suggestions and quite a bit of information contributed by the rest of the wildlife rehabilitation community, so not just the rehabilitators on the RAC, but also the whole community. And our partnership with these professionals, all these professionals, has just been pretty phenomenal and rewarding. All right, so in this decision meeting, we'll review the proposed amendments again and the supplemental amendments that are based on the comments at and since the January 11th meeting. All the materials are in your notebook, including the supplemental amendments, and there will be one floor change proposal today. So we believe these amendments will assist wildlife rehabilitators in their best practices and also therefore provide the best and most humane wildlife care for the release of physically and psychologically healthy wildlife, or to provide relief from suffering. This will, in turn, provide the best service to the public who really desires a place to take injured and orphaned wildlife. All right, so the definitions we start with, 060. We propose several word additions and additions and adjustments to these definitions, particularly habituate, tame, and non-releasable, to facilitate decisions on handling wildlife, which has been a critical issue. There is one supplemental adjustment. In the term euthanasia, we were advised by public comment that the phrase inability to be rehabilitated for release implied that non-releasable wildlife could not have the opportunity as an education animal and must be euthanized. And so for that reason, we deleted inability to be released so they could have the opportunity, even though not releasable, as an education animal. 070, rehab permits. Some of the most important adds in this rule are, of course, the Cervid endorsement, and we added hours to the Raptor endorsement and hours to continuing education. There are two supplemental adjustments to this rule. We removed the word modified from permittee in good standing because a letter of recommendation from a permittee in good standing is required for a permittee applicant. And this was confusing because there can be permit modifications that are not related to violations, and so they should be able to write a letter of recommendation. And also to address a public comment about the modified word, that may prevent a wildlife rehabilitator from writing a letter for a candidate for somebody that's like applying for an endorsement for species that aren't really involved with that disciplinary modification. So we wanted to kind of open that up a little bit for that opportunity. And the second public comment asserted that professional large carnivore biologists are in fact knowledgeable about large carnivores and do know how to handle them. Therefore, some of their experience will now count towards a large carnivore endorsement. 080, primary permittees and sub-permittees. We added requirements and restrictions for the permittees for overseeing, particularly off-site sub-permittees, and sub-permittees must now demonstrate hours of experience at their facility, and there are no supplemental adjustments to this rule. 090, permit modification, suspension, revocation. Proposed amendments to this rule outline the procedures for assisting wildlife rehabilitators in returning to compliance, which is our goal. The step-by-step system is a more effectual way to manage oversight of the compliance. And there are two supplemental adjustments to this rule in response to a comment regarding the length of time in which to comply with the Department corrections. Language was changed in this clause to make the time for remediation more recognizable or stand out more because it is, in fact, in their timelines within the compliance plans are specific and individually set according to the remedies and circumstances of the violations. So it's not like within 14 days you have to have this done. So we changed that. And the second one, a permit can be revoked for publicly displaying wildlife. However, we and the wildlife rehabilitation community understand the value of education, wildlife and rehabilitation for the public. And wildlife can be displayed remotely or indirectly through CCTV, through remote cameras, through one-way glass, public viewing it. Paws is proposing a very clever one-way glass. And in this way, wildlife is not disturbed. And so we hope that the language changing publicly displaying to directly displaying will allow our rehabbers to remotely display the wildlife for education. 100, facility requirements. The purpose of this WAC is to ensure that rehabilitation facilities provide healthy, safe, and comfortable caging for wildlife in a very stress-reduced environment. So our proposed amendments were constructed to do just that. There is one supplemental adjustment, and this was proposed by members of the RAC that subcommittees are not experienced enough to run their own facilities to rehab wildlife on their own. Therefore, we made it clear that they cannot operate their own facilities off-site. 110, releasing wildlife. A primary emphasis of this rules amendments is the protection of free wildlife populations and herd health, as well as the safety of the individual animal being released. So amphibian restrictions greatly reduce the possibility of the spread of pathogens such as rhinovirus and B. sal, which is a chytrid fungus, and mycoplasma. Cervids, mostly deer and elk in this state. Rarely we rehabilitate moose. The release date of October 31st supports the International Wildlife Rehabilitation Council's statement that most fawns should be ready for release by September or October. And holding cervids captive for too long can result in the maladaptive behavior, semi-tame animals that are rarely successfully rewilded, of which we do have examples.
Can we hold on 1 minute? Commissioner Baker has a question.
Thank you, that's me.
Yes.
If my email is any indication, this here is what there is still quite a bit of concern about out there.
Correct.
And that the heat on that concern got turned up today and yesterday. Have we carefully considered the points that I believe most of the people that are commenting are rehabilitators. I'm not positive. But do you have an answer for them about why this isn't inhumane? And also, there seemed to be something that I didn't understand about why can't we release these, usually they're talking mostly about fawns, to local entities. I didn't understand what that was. Could you address that a little bit further, please?
They might have been asking about sanctuaries or something. Yes, we would like to follow the International Wildlife Rehabilitation Council's suggestion, rules, statement that fawns are ready for release probably in September and October, because by that time they have been in the rehabilitation facility close to 4 months, 3 to 4 to sometimes even 5 months. And it's their contention, and we agree with that these animals that can be habituated very, very easily, the more time they spend in the facility, the more likelihood that they will become tamed and habituated, even with the best handling, it's very difficult. And when these animals are in facilities for any length of time, they start becoming adapted to the humans, and this is actually dangerous for them and the humans, where a maladaptive animal, particularly an ungulate, will not be able to assimilate into the herd, will not be able to exhibit normal behaviors, and sometimes won't even know how to find appropriate food out in the wild. And so then what happens is an example that we had, they come back into the cities and the towns, start begging. That gives them very poor nutrition and also can cause very much danger to the public, as the IWRC, which is the International Wildlife Rehabilitation Council, points out that these fawns will grow up, they'll become adults, and they will become very, very dangerous. In fact, some states don't allow the handling of adult cervids. So for that reason, we propose the release date on or before October 31st to avoid this taming and habituation. And what that does is it prevents the need for seizure and euthanasia of these animals. When they are released appropriately, it prevents us from having to take them. And a caveat on that, or actually an additional provision on this, is any rehabilitator can apply for an extension for rehabilitation. So if they feel that an animal needs prolonged rehabilitation, they can write in an application for an authorization for extension, and I can't think of a time that I have not authorized that. PAWS Wildlife Center applies for extension for their bear every year because they have to den up an overwinter. So if it's necessary for that animal or animals to be in rehab after the 31st of October, an extension is very likely.
Isaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you ever received an application for extension for a cervid?
Well, I have not. I have not. The facilities in Washington State, the majority of them release in October. They are required to notify or consult with a biologist or an officer for release location and release date. There are times when I should have received the extension applications and did not receive extension applications. So for the cervid, I have not, but also along with the extension applications has to come the reason for the extension. That good? Okay, well, that covered the rest of it. 120 and 130, veterinary care and records retention had very minimal proposed amendments to them, and there are no proposed supplemental adjustments to these WACs. 140, falconers assisting with raptor rehabilitation. We clarified the falconers' roles in this rule, and there's one supplemental adjustment here, and that is based on a public comment at the January 11th meeting, very good one, where he said, where can the raptors be kept? It wasn't specified in the WAC. And so we actually reinstituted the phrase in that WAC that says these birds in the possession of a falconer may be kept at the approved falconry facility as long as that bird is being conditioned for release. So that was a supplemental adjustment to that. 150, transfer, import, and export of wildlife and the restrictions. We proposed amendments in this WAC to mostly seek to prevent disease in the wild populations. Our veterinarian, Dr. Kristen Mansfield, provided the majority of the language and supporting documentation for these revisions. This is basically the herd health that the Department of Fish and Wildlife is very concerned with in our wild populations. There are no proposed supplemental amendments. However, this rule does contain a floor change, and I'm going to present that today on the following slide. So the proposed floor change to WAC 220, 450, 150, transfer, import, and export of wildlife and restrictions are proposed for the Section 4C, which currently reads no transfer of cervids between Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife regions. We propose to add the language to that WAC 220, 450, 150, Section 4C to read no transfer of cervids between Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife regions unless written permission and conditions for the transfer are obtained from the department prior to that transfer. Therefore, if cervid comes into a facility, there are very few facilities in eastern Washington. If a deer needs to be transferred to a facility, it used to be prohibited. Now with asking for the permission and us writing the conditions in, those deer can be transferred out of region and therefore receive the service of rehabilitation.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Ask about a boundary question, because anytime you have a boundary, there'll be somebody with a situation 1 inch on this side of the boundary who wants to release 1 inch on the other side of the boundary, and it becomes difficult to argue on that. but I wasn't quite clear what your answer was, which could cover it. Could you state that again? It sounded like it's one of these apply for an exception, or what, could you just repeat what you were saying? I wasn't quite clear what the solution
is.
Yes,
sure. This is transfer. So what we were saying, due to herd health, due to protect the wild populations from the disease, we said that cervids could not be transferred from one WDFW region to another WDFW region. And we had some comments, particularly from a RAC member, who said, well, what if the example was Columbia white-tailed deer needs rehabilitation, there are no facilities in that area, so we need to get that to my facility in a different region. And so this provides, yes, for her to call up, ask permission, and say, can I bring that deer into my facility, and then we will provide the conditions. So it does allow for that now.
Does allow for that Columbia whitetail to go outside Region 5 and then come back to Region 5?
Correct. Yes.
And in other wildlife, you have just an eastern Washington and a western Washington boundary as opposed to a regional administrative boundary. And my example of someone who's right on the edge of some boundary and on the west side that would not allow any transfer. Did the public comment about that kind of thing?
We're pretty flexible, and I always call them my rehabilitators, will call me up if they have a situation and say, can I get authorized to do this? And we can take things on a case-by-case basis as far as I do. So if somebody had a beaver, is one of those that is restricted between eastern and western Washington. We actually, that's kind of goes along with the beaver restrictions now, but if there was good justification and if there was enough protection, you know, for that particular animal and the animal in the facility to which it's being transferred, I would say that it would be something we could consider.
So you do have an exceptions process that people could go
through? We do. Yeah. We do. Or I'd like to call it flexible.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? All right, so we're on 160, possession of dead wildlife. Pretty self-explanatory. All we needed to do was expand it to all wildlife and not just birds. And no proposed supplemental adjustments. 170, disposition of non-releasable, over-habituated, and mal-imprinted and tamed wildlife. These proposed amendments describe clearly the rules and restrictions for obtaining education animals to try and avoid taming and habituation at the facilities. And also, we strengthen the rules to take care of the education animals that are at the facilities. And there were no proposed supplemental adjustments to this WAC. Euthanizing wildlife. This was proposed to prevent prolonged and severe suffering of wildlife. And an addition was made to this WAC for mandatory reporting of diseases and the ability for the department to euthanize the wildlife that was a threat to herd health. And no supplemental adjustments. 190, disposition of remains. The ads in this are particularly to take care of prevent free-ranging wildlife from being poisoned by euthanized animals by chemical solutions. In other words, so wild animals won't come and feed on carcasses euthanized with chemical solution. Commercial uses, we simplified it just so rehabilitators could charge some fees for a few things that they do, like selling pictures of their wildlife. No proposed supplemental adjustments for either one of these. 210 and 220 were the oiled wildlife WACs, oiled wildlife WACs. These were very long WACs. They've now been subsumed into the general wildlife rehabilitation rules, and we would propose for repeal of 210 and 220. And just in summary, The ideas for these rules have been pretty much percolating through the department and the community for the last couple of years. The rehabilitation community and I work closely together, and of course the culmination of that partnership was the RAC, like we had discussed earlier on, a very good partnership, and that was started in 2018. So what I would like to say is just a few things that we added to cover some of the issues, to propose the amendments that were very important to the wildlife rehabilitation community. First one, authenticating the definitions, particularly those of behavior, habituate, tame, imprint in the definitions. We created the CERVID rehabilitation endorsement to assure that those rehabilitating and handling services are professional and trained. We created a formal stepwise compliance discipline to assist the rehabilitators who needed help back into compliance over a period of time, not just immediately. We also provided for consultation with subject experts or an advisory board to review the problems that might crop up and to advise the agency on options and actions if they do. And then we enabled a process by which wildlife rehabilitators and the department can provide more direction and oversight for the off-site sub-permittees. So as stated in the briefing in the last meeting, the public expects that there will be a place for them to take injured and orphaned wildlife, and much of that expectation is that wildlife will be provided the best practices in rehabilitation. So with the assistance of our community of wildlife rehabilitators in the creation of these rules and the direction of the program, we are confident that wildlife and the public will get the services they clearly deserve. And for that reason, we propose that the commission accept and move to adopt the Wildlife Rehabilitation WACs 220-450-060 through and including 220-450-200 as presented. Thank you for your attention. Went through those pretty quickly.
Mr. McKay.
Talked kind of fast. So are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for the presentation, and thanks for considering the additional public comment that came in since January. I have two questions. This one gets back to, I think, an original proposal that the public didn't comment on. It's on slide 13, and it has to do with possession of dead wildlife parts. And this is expanded now to all wildlife parts.
Correct.
And so for a hunter who goes out of state and brings back dead parts, it could be meat, could be horns, in compliance with the disease protocols that are currently in place, does this expansion hamper in any way those folks coming back from other states that have been out of state hunting?
No, that's a very good question. This only applies to people with a wildlife rehabilitation permit. Okay. And so the rule actually says if you have a wildlife rehabilitation permit, you may possess wildlife parts for education.
Okay. My second question has to do with protocols for seizure and euthanasia. And if you could refresh our memory, if there were changes to the old protocol for seizure and euthanasia originally proposed, and then I may have lost track of your presentation here of whether or not there were calls for changes since January and how you treated that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our protocols, so to speak, for seizure and euthanasia have been addressed by the step-by-step compliance plan, where we hope now to make it formal that we have so many steps to go through to inform the rehabilitators, to tell them what's happening, allow them to come up with a compliance plan. They were always informed, and we always worked with them ahead of time before. We always communicated with them. But this will formalize that step now, where they can actually write a compliance plan themselves. And then the other thing that we hope to address that with the problems with seizure and euthanizing, is in fact the October 31st release date, where that will hopefully prevent or preclude a lot of the taming and habituation that these animals are very, very adept at doing. So with the proviso that they can apply for an extension if an animal needs more time in rehabilitation.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
Sorry. Just to tie into that, and she's spot on, the one other adjustment that was made during this process was the direction to have the department look at putting together an advisory committee that would help review situations where we have compliance issues and have that part of the process.
So the protocols are different than what they were a year ago or not?
They are different within the rules, yes. The step-by-step is in the rules. The advisory committee, the subject matter experts are in the rules. So, yes, that okay. That will help us with that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. I move to adopt WAC 220-450-060 through 220-450-220 as presented.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Commissioner Graybill, second the motion. Any further?
I do have discussion.
Discussion.
When we get
Baker.
To it. I'm comfortable with this motion, but I'm still not 100% comfortable with the resolution of that this is a final resolution of these issues. As I look at the summary of the comment pages that are in our books on page 10, the last couple of bullets, it says that it does note that you guys have formed an advisory committee and that all of this has been pushed through them. It said there's a 30-day public comment period on the proposals and that there were three public responses were received. Well, I haven't counted, but I'd say in the last couple of days, we probably have 40. And they are, they range on topics, but it's mostly this October 1 date. You did a great job of answering some of the allegations that are made in these comments, like, really, why do we rehab at all if all we're going to do is kill them? But it appears to me that our work isn't done. And so I would ask as a sort of a condition of approving these rules that you all keep this advisory committee going and keep the dialogue very open and let Mick or Eric or somebody know if we need to revisit. So that's my comments.
Good discussion point.
Very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.